clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. A little different than yesterday as far as weather's concerned. Currently at the Elk City Mesonet, we have 80 degrees and the winds are out of the northeast at 15 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 22. Here at the Gabe Gadget here in the studio, we'll call it the Gabe Mesonet, we got 79.2 degrees with 64% humidity and 9 mile an hour wind here at the studio. Let's check out weather all over the state. It's crazy, the color of the Mesonet Oklahoma temperature map. We got red at the bottom and light green in the Panhandle, Oklahoma. 68 degrees at Boise City, 64 at Eva, 67 at Hooker. Woodward's at 71. Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. And her neighbor that I know, she probably doesn't know that I know her neighbor, Mr. Rocky Whitson. 73 at Arnett. 79 at Butler. The warmest spot is Hollis, Oklahoma at 86. So anyway, the weather looks great. Forecast coming up later, the Long Ranger, the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up. Looks pretty good as far as rain chances. I mean, it's all a prediction, but all we need is a little bit of hope. Well, let's get on with the show. I got a special guest in the studio today, Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. We're going to be talking about soil health and what the drought's doing with us here later on in the show. But first, I'll get on with the grain, see what's happening in the grain world. Futures for corn, September 615, December 613, March 620. May of next year, 623. Soybeans, September 1472, November 1389, January 1395 a bushel. Soybean meal, September $437.50 a short ton. October's $404 even. December is $399.50. Soybean oil, September 67.3 cents per pound. October 66.01, December 65.55. Hard red winter wheat, $8.56 a bushel for September. December is $8.58. Oats, September is $4.33 a bushel. December is $4.03 a bushel. Let's check out cotton prices. Scroll down here, and man, it's been going up constant, pretty consistently this week. October cotton, 122 a pound. December is 116 a pound. Sugar's down 0.0027 cents a pound. So, Mr. Bill Dance down there in the Delhi area, he's losing money again today. Crude oil's at $86.72 a barrel, and man, it got very close to $10 yesterday. Natural gas for September is at $9.22 at MCF, so that's not good news for fertilizer makers. How's that? And buyers. Let's check out what the cash grain prices are happening in around Texas and Oklahoma today and today only, if it'll come up. There it is. Hard red winter wheat is $8.41 a bushel. Corn's at $6.63. Milo's at $5.83. And soybeans are $14.54 a bushel. And that's cash grain prices. And I just noticed that. That's wrong on Milo. Milo cash grain prices is $6.06. And I don't know why this thing looks all over the board. Corn is at $6.91 on cash prices. Anyway, it had a little computer glitch there. Well, here's see what's happening around the United States and the world that's causing all these prices up and down every day. Nothing seems stable anymore. Soybeans were higher in overnight trading, rebounding from yesterday's losses amidst some dry weather in parts of the central Midwest and some speculative investors going bargain hunting. Little or no rain has fallen in some parts of the Corn Belt in the past week, according to data from the National Weather Service. Much of the Dakotas, Minnesota, northern and eastern Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois all have received little or no rain in the past 7 days. South central Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma, and southwestern Missouri was also dry. Still, it's not all bad news, as the amount of eastern Corn Belt suffering from the drought eased last week, according to the Drought Monitor. About 15% of the nine-state region that includes Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky were seeing drought conditions as of August 9th. That's down from 15%. That's down from 18% a week earlier and 16% at the beginning of the year. A six-state region in the Western Corn Belt that includes Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota also seen a reduction in drought-affected areas, though by only a small margin. About 53% of the area that was suffering from drought conditions is down 1.1%. Well, Kent, I got a question for you.
Okay, let's do it.
I got this buddy that lives out here in Roger Mills County.
Okay.
He's a Vietnam vet. He's a Desert Storm vet. And I don't know if that's affected his speech like mine, but the other day, I don't know if you're listening, when he got some rain there last week, when some of that rain moved through there, he got, what was it, one? No, he got 88.8 and 0.2. Rain, all right? So that was 8,200, all right?
Okay.
Most people. Well, last night I called him to see if he got a rain because that cloud was hanging out up there north of Highway 6 between Roger Mills County and north of Elk. He got 105 100s.
Okay.
So can, do the math. What is that? 1.05 inches of rain.
That's 1 inch of rain.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to make it complicated, yeah. And I hadn't figured it out yet, but we'll get him all figured out. It's just easier to just say, hey, I got almost 9/10.
Yeah, or round it up to an inch, make yourself feel better about it.
Yeah. Anyway, did you get any rain last night in any places?
No.
Man, these people up here. I mean, it was just north of Highway 6 here. Gentlemen, you know where L.C. Price's farm is, the headquarters is? 2 miles north of there, he got 2 inches.
Good.
And then 2 miles east of there, straight east of there, is where I got the heifers, and they got, we got 8/10, almost an inch. We'll just say almost an inch.
Well, wherever it fell, it needed to fall.
So oh, yeah. That cloud just hung there.
Yeah, that's good.
And I don't know if anybody else in the area that got rain last night was lucky enough to get rain. Text into the Day in Ag text line 580-9695 and 225-9697. Man, I got all kinds of numbers going today. They're confusing me today with these new options we got coming up in the next month on the show. But text that into the text line telling me what kind of amounts of rain you got, because they got some down by corn.
Yeah.
I think they got 4 or 5 tenths in that area.
Well, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain in corn.
Yeah, it always does. Anyway, so, but anyway, get back to this grain stuff we're talking about. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 8.25 cents to $13.89 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $3.50 to $399.60 a short ton, while soybean oil futures gained 0.1 penny to 66.16 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose a half a penny to $6.10 3/4 cents a bushel. Wheat for December delivery rose 1.5 cents to $8.04 cents a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 3 cents to $8.76 at another quarter in there a bushel. How's that? Well, we got all kinds of things to talk about today. Running out of time already for this segment, but let's cover some of the national weather because it, all the farming, the weather, the rain everywhere in the United States affects the farming. So anyway, isolated thunderstorms are forecast for parts of lower Michigan this afternoon, though no severe weather is expected, according to the National Weather Service. Storms will move towards the south and southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour today. The National Weather Service said that in its report early this morning, more storms are possible on Friday in that area. Further south and west, strong storms are expected to fire up across northeastern Nebraska tomorrow afternoon and evening. The main hazards are hail and gusty wind. The chance for non-severe thunderstorms will remain in the forecast on Friday and Saturday. Extremely hot weather is expected today in parts of southern Arkansas and northern Louisiana. Heat indexes in that area will be forecast as high as 108 degrees. Well, I woke up this morning to let the dogs out about 2 o'clock, and I looked on the radar, and there was a big old storm hung out up there in southwest Kansas and northern Texas Panhandle and all of Oklahoma Panhandle. I don't know how much rain they got. I haven't checked, but it hung there all night. And that's probably one of the driest parts of Oklahoma, and they've been getting blessed this year. So congratulations to them for getting that rain last night. When we come back, I'll have Ken Watkins on here from SEI Agritech, and we'll be talking about soil and drought. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 15th. 1,612 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 383 brought 206. 8 at 544 brought 175. 7 at 566 brought 164. 14 at 719 brought 186. 20 at 791 brought 173.50. 16 head of heifers at 269 brought 190. 4 at 390 brought 171. 10 at 477 brought 172. 5 at 606 brought 159. 29 at 749 brought 165.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 86. Six butcher bulls brought 75 to 114. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 12th. 2,069 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 275 brought 224. 9 at 446 brought 208. 16 at 522 brought 194. 11 at 590 brought 178. 10 at 652 brought 169.50. 3 head of heifers at 258 brought 540. 4 at 443 brought 170. 9 at 470 brought 162.50. 4 at 528 brought 158. 7 at 881 brought 148. Butcher cows were 35 to 94. Butcher bulls brought 82.50. to 113. Bred cows were 700 to 1400. Pairs brought 1000 to 1660. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Currently 78 degrees here at the studio, and I have Kent Watkins in here with SEI Agritech. He's the big boss there. You kind of own it too, don't you?
Me and the bank.
Anyway, you know what today is?
No.
You know what Wednesdays are every week on my show?
Oh, is it Taylor Ranch Day?
Yeah, it's Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
I notice he hasn't given me one.
Yeah, well, I think he's only got two of them, and I got them both.
I understand.
Well, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. And hey, all you grillers out there, and I know I have grillers that listen because I'm one myself. Are you ready to up your game? Taylor Ranch beef is your answer. No matter what your skill level is, from the beginner to the master griller, starting with Taylor Ranch beef will take you to the next level. And I promise you, I'll throw this word in there, it will. The majority of the Taylor Ranch beef grades prime, so prime your grill with Taylor Ranch beef. Your family and friends will appreciate and enjoy your decision that you made by getting that Taylor Ranch beef. At the Taylor Ranch, they develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, and whole beef. Third-party verified, all natural, and hormone-free, also available. If you're interested in a quarter, half, three-quarters, or a whole, or a couple of them, buy one for your family, each one of your kids for Christmas. It's time to order now. So call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Anyway, I always like the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour because I think the last time we had that, you're always in there on a Wednesday,
right?
And it's every Wednesday is Taylor Ranch. Last time he wasn't happy with us, was he?
No, but it's good that he can take a joke.
Anyway, well, it's a crazy world we live out here in Western Oklahoma, isn't it?
It is. It is. We're a year into this drought now. It's, you know, the rain shut off last July.
Right.
And we went all winter, all spring with not much rain, and here we still sit with not much rain. We do have a decent forecast coming up, but and
it's not here yet.
It's not here yet, and maybe yesterday will be the last really, really hot day.
Yep.
For this year, I'm hoping. But everybody still needs to be vigil.
Yeah, and I think I picked the right time to wean my calves.
Yeah, it's as good a time as any.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I dreaded it because every day was 100, 104, yeah. 105. And, you know, they've already been worked, and they've already been, we got a feeder load from you of
right.
creep a couple of months, 2 or 3 months back, so they're used to it, and they all chow down on it. I don't see any big mess is coming, but I was just dreading it because of the temperature.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to do it when it's really hot or really cold.
But
if we get, you know, reasonable weather temperatures going forward for the next 2 weeks, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, let's see what the long ranger on the National Weather Service looks like. I mean, yeah, I see 80. We got a couple more 90s coming at the end of this week, but next week I see a 77 for a high.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. It looked like maybe this weekend would be hot and then cool off after that. And if that's the case, you know, really we only have 10 days of August left after that or so. And we always get a break around rodeo time, Labor Day.
Yeah, yeah, it can go. Seemed like when I was growing up, well, you're not that much older than me, but anyway, when we were growing up, it seemed like either the rodeo was going to be 100 degrees,
right,
or it was just going to be a constant downpour in the 70s.
Yeah, one of the two, or the weather would change during the rodeo, and you'd get the dirt blowing from the north or the south, and it's always a crapshoot
you're
going to get.
Well, I thought it was kind of cool if it got really cool during the rodeo while it was going on, the animals would act up a little more.
Yeah. The bucking bulls would buck a little harder.
Yeah, so, anyway, the bull riders wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we got every show you come on once a month, we talk about soil.
Right. Soil health.
Soil health.
So I want to go through what I go through every time is very important, especially now in a drought, and it's the five pillars of soil health. And I know people get tired of hearing it, but it's the most important thing you can do,
and it's the truth.
It's the absolute truth. So the first one for us in the south is armor on the soil. Keep it covered up, because if you don't, Mother Nature will, and you're not going to like what she puts on there. is going to be something that your cattle or sheep or whatever isn't going to eat very readily. But she's going to get the soil covered up. And then the second one is low disturbance. So that means leave the disc at home. If you're going to till, do it with a sweep or something like that that leaves the residue on the surface soil.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going to have to work some ground this year. Some of my neighbors out there are laughing at me because I'm Mr. No-Till cover crop guy. And they said, you're going to work ground. And I said, I'm going to have to do some this year. And I said, it's the first time that I've worked ground in 12 years. And I said, you have worked ground 24 times in 12 years.
Right.
So they didn't have any more to say about that.
You can't argue that. No. Well, on your first one on armor, one of my friends that's a business owner, he's not a farmer, he even noticed the other day when we were playing in a golf tournament that when we went out of the watered area into the dry area that's, you know, burn up now or just dormant, whatever you want to call it, he even said something. I can't believe the difference in the temperature of this ground versus what it is over there where it's green.
That's right.
They had to have been 20 degrees difference.
That's true. And, you know, back when we had the last prolonged drought, and it started in 09, but the one that everybody remembers, 2011, we were planting a summer crop over at Hydro, and it was under a pivot. The pivot had watered around, and the guy had one of those bearing guns that shows you the temperature of your bearings. And he just pointed at the ground, and the ground surface temperature, it was 100 degrees that day at noon, and the ground surface temperature was 147.
I believe it.
And I just looked at him and told him, I said, don't turn the pivot off, because if you do, you're never going to catch up.
Right.
And it was a constant battle that summer. And you know, as we got to the end of that summer, harvest time, everybody would have been a lot better off just to not plant anything, just get a cover crop on it and let it go, because they didn't make any money on their cotton or corn or whatever they were planting.
Right.
There wasn't any money made because of all the water use that had to happen. And the dry land areas just burn up anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter, you know, what system you're in, whether you're full cultivation or you're a no-till, and sometimes you till, and or you're a no-till cover crop. You got to have rainfall in all those systems. Some obviously less than others, but you still have to have rainfall. So if you look at the mesonet today for us, it's going to show about 15 inches. For me, which is 10 or 12 miles southeast of there, it's about 10 inches for me and in that area down there. So the mesonet site is a pretty good general indicator, but a lot of those areas around it didn't get the rainfall over the last year that the mesonet sites did.
Right. Yeah, I'm at 7 inches down there west of Willow.
On the year. Yeah, that's going to make it a little tough to grow a crop.
Yeah, and it's luckily that rain that we started getting there late in what, May or early June, it got the grass green and growing, and then.
If we do get this rain in here this weekend or into early next week, your grass will green back up, and it will grow a little bit. But you got to realize, this time of year, day length is going to start affecting you. It's not going to be able to grow like you would have been able to a month ago.
Right. Yeah, because we're losing daylight quickly.
Yes, we are now.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we go further into the fall, it's just going to be shorter day lengths, and the grass isn't going to respond as well.
Well, like I said before the show, we were talking about this green grass. Is it going to grow much? It's going to grow a little, but not enough for you to get your hopes up to hay stuff, but you know, it helps the attitude.
Yes, it does. A good rain helps everybody's mental health. You know, I kid, I've been in the ag chemical sales business for 40 years, and I tell people that selling ag chemical or seed or feed, whatever it is, it's a lot less about sales and it's a lot more about psychiatry.
Yeah.
It really is. Because some guys, man, after you get through talking to them, you just want to run out and impale yourself on a hay spike because it's all bad.
Yeah.
And then there's other guys who are upbeat no matter what. But, yeah, as a sales guy in this industry in Western Oklahoma, you have to be able to turn that off and focus on the positive things that are out there.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said the other morning or other day on my show, I ran into a guy who recognized my voice and he asked me if I was Jimmy Clark. And, you know, you got to be careful how you answer that. But anyway, he said, you know, I can't even afford diesel for my tractor right now.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Because we have a drought and we got high input costs going on right now.
That's right. And, you know, but really and truly, why would you be wanting to run your tractor now anyway?
Right.
I mean, the bigger guys who have lots of acres, I've noticed what they're doing is they're working ground that's close to the house that they have to look at all the time. They're not working ground 8 or 10, 12 miles away. They don't have to look at it, so they're not going to work it until they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
And they're going to work it. You know, they're going to get some work just so they're not behind, assuming it does rain. And I think we all have to assume that it will rain at some point.
Right.
You know, so I think that's what's it's selective tillage going on right now.
Well, you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and we're going to be right back. And we've got, what, three more pillars to talk about?
Yeah.
Three more pillars of soil health, and then we'll go on talking about some things to get ready with this drought. And hopefully the rain's coming, but what if it doesn't come, you know?
Well, if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's where the drought plan comes into effect.
Yep. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today and we'll have a truck headed your way.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that. I understand it. I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. And my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow. And watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night.
A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Come back. I'm trying to get my mezzanette come back up where I want it. There she is. 81 degrees. Heat index is 83 at the Elk City mezzanette. And humidity's 59%. Just a beautiful day out there. The winds are out of the northeast at 12 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 18. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here pretty shortly. In the studio with me is Mr. Kent Watkins, owner, part owner. The bank owns the other half, according to him, of SEI Agritech. But anyway, we were talking before I rudely interrupted you with my armor question on number one. And I think you were the number three on soil health.
Yeah, well, let's go back to number two for a minute. And that goes to tillage. I'm not a fan of tillage of any kind because of the science that's involved. But if you're going to till, do it with something that's less dramatic. So that doesn't mean drag the disc out, use a sweep or duck foot or something like that. Try to keep as much residue on the top as you possibly can.
Because that dust back there, there's micros disappearing, right?
Yeah, and it's that dust behind your tractor is your equity blowing away.
Yeah.
That's organic matter that's blown away.
Yeah.
So when you get the organic matter, then that's how big the house is that the microbes and all the life lives in. So if you have a organic matter of 1%, and another your neighbor has a 2%, he has 100 times more house than you do. And that goes directly to water retention. How much more water can he hold than you?
Right.
So it matters. The third one would be diversity. And it's very important. So even this fall, if it's a grazing operation, I would encourage people to mix two or three different species of their cereal grains together, whether that's wheat, rye, triticale, barley, whatever. Mix them together and be more diverse. Get a legume, at least one legume in there. I think it's too dry this year to worry about Austrian winter pea because I don't think they're going to be able to take it. The hairy vetch will. It's very tough. So I would encourage people to get the hairy vetch in there along with the other cereals that you're going to put along with that.
Okay.
And then a tillage radish if you want it or something like that.
Right.
And then it's living root in the soil as much as possible, as many days out of the year as possible. So, you know, that means get your fall crop planted in sometime in September if you possibly can. And then don't be in a hurry to terminate that crop next summer to get your summer cover crop in. Let one overlap into the other one for a couple of reasons. Living root most of the time, and then that residue that the winter cover crop will leave you will help you out in it if we wind up with another dry summer.
Okay.
And then the last one is livestock where it fits. You know, if your place doesn't have water in it, obviously you're not going to have livestock there. But anywhere you can, you should put them. You should get some class of cattle out there.
And this year with the drought going on, you got to be thinking about that. You know, everybody likes winter forage.
Right.
And last year it was looking good.
Mm-hmm.
We got rains in August, a few in September, and then bam.
And then it was over.
Right.
You know, July as a rule of thumb, it just shut off in first week of August, something like that. And then it was spotty rain in September, stayed warm. And then the wind started in, and then the cold started in, and that turned into a wreck. And you know, not just here, but all over.
It was like a tsunami hit.
Yeah, it was like West Texas, North Texas, Texas Panhandle, Western Kansas, Western Nebraska, Western Oklahoma. It was all the same.
Yeah.
And the yields this last summer proved that out. And if you haven't checked on the price of seed, you need to sit down when you get those prices, because they're about twice as high as they were last year.
Yep.
And it's just a supply-demand deal. And if, like me as a dealer, I'm having to go further away to get seed this year, so with the freight costs the way it is, the freight's eating up a lot of it.
Right. Hey, speaking of you being a dealer, and I'm not talking about drugs here, but anyway, this morning when I pulled the feeder in there to drop it off to go pick it up after the show to get ready for weaning calves tomorrow, you were out there digging a ditch, and he didn't have a shovel in his hand. It was a ditch witch. Yeah. But anyway, you're adding some stuff to SEI. What do you got?
We are a LNC livestock nutrition distributor, and we are going to add some more bins to hold a different class of feed. The DDG cubes that everybody's familiar with, they now produce those in pellets. So you could use the pellets for just about all classes of livestock. And there wouldn't be any restrictions, you know, like horses, you really don't want to have any cottonseed or rumensin or any of that in there. The DDG pellet is the same thing as the DDG cube, so it's just DDG's dried distiller's grain is what it is. It's got high protein, 24% in the pellet, 28% in the cube, and then high fat. I think the pellet is 5% and 8% in the cube. So it's an all-around feed. Oh,
goats, sheep?
Yeah, goats, sheep, horses, llamas, cattle, any class of cattle. So we'll have that available sometime in October.
How about deer?
Deer as well,
because corn's pretty high this year. They might need to switch.
Yeah, and I will be bagging some of that for the deer guys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
because cottonseed is very important because it's high protein.
Yeah,
for deer.
There isn't even going to be any cottonseed this year. No cottonseed, no cottonseed hulls. And if you find them, they're going to be higher than a cat's back. So this is going to be a really good option to that, and also a good option to corn as well.
Right.
And the pellets will hold together out on the ground, so it will work for that as well.
Because that's what I'm feeding my heifers out here, and that DDG that I got from you, the big cubes.
Yeah, the cubes.
Yeah, that's what I got from you, and it smells good.
Yeah, it will. It's been through the process, so it's a really good feed. Now I will tell you, when you check on price, like if you call me. You know, I have pricing for winter contracts now. It's a little over $100 higher than it was last year. And last year was $100 higher than the year before. But, you know, we've had a pullback a little bit in corn prices. We're not going to see a pullback in DDGs. And the reason is because the ethanol plants are running at about a third of their total capacity. So there's not excess DDGs out there on the market. Everybody's struggling to find stock, really, in what they need in that. LNC, luckily, is big enough. They're a giant regional, so they're big enough. They can contract up 1 million tons if they need to, and then it's gonna be up to the ethanol plants to supply that. Whether they can or not, we won't know until they can.
Right, because I've noticed that reading the ethanol, actually, it'll be out tomorrow, production reports, you know, they're not near what they were doing last year.
Not even close.
Not even close. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and I have Mr. Kent Watkins in here from SEI Agritech. He was talking about the five pillars of health, soil health, And when we come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And we'll finish up with Kent and he talk about this drought. So be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying into the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, August 18th. We're expecting 2,500 to 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. Front of Iron got 31 bull and heifer calves, 3.5 to 5 off the cow. May 20 calves off the cow, 4 to 5. Tubman, 25 Charolais calves off the cow, 4.5 to 6. Clinton, 30 heifers, 5 to 6, they're weaned. Moreland got 90 heifers, 7.5. Buffalo, 20 heifers, 8 to 9. Watonga, 25 steers, 6 to 7. Victoria, Texas, 80 steers, number 6 to 7. Thomas got 360 steers, 8.5 to 9.5, and Slap Out 70 heifers, 650. Moreland, we got 68 steers, 8.5. Moreland, 38 steers, 7.5. And Thomas, 130 steers, 8 to 9.5. Again, we're expecting 2,500 to 3,000 cows. We'll start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks, Jim Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently 83 here at Elk City, 72 at Woodward, 74 at Buffalo, 86 at Altus. Hot spot right now is 87 at Hollis, Oklahoma. And we just, my friend in the Panhandle, it just probably have to have a hoodie out. It's 67 degrees. Anyway, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. If it'll come up, there it is. All right. Today, 85 for a high, 20% chance of storms. Tonight, 20% chance of storms and 64 for a low. 88 tomorrow, 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow night, clears out, 64 degrees. Going to be nice tomorrow evening. 95 degrees Friday, we'll climb back up. Saturday, 95, but then the rain chances start coming in. 30% chance Saturday, 40% chance Saturday night with a low of 68. Sunday, a high of 82 degrees. Listen to this. I haven't seen this number in a long time. 70% chance of thunderstorms. And it's time, isn't it?
Yes, it's past time.
It's past time. So anyway, that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Well, Kent, I got a question for you from the text line. And could you please ask him if it's possible to substitute DDGs or some other pelletized feed instead of putting out hay this winter due to the price and the shortage of hay in our part of Oklahoma?
Okay, the quick answer is yes, but I need to qualify that. Your cows still need roughage, okay? So it's in the winter, it's not as much about protein as it is fat for cows, because when you think about fat, fat is energy, energy is calories. They burn calories, so they have to have calories to be able to go out and forage for protein. Now, in the DDG pellet, I mean cube, that's a 28% protein and 8% fat, you can put out, say, 3 pounds a day. And then if you don't want to do that every day, just double it and put it out every other day.
Yep.
That's fine. But they still do need some roughage of some kind. Now, you can get into textured feeds where that have a lot of roughage in them. Your protein's going to come down, your fat's going to come down. So just be careful in what you're trying to achieve. As far as having a good supply of hay, nobody's going to have a good supply of hay this year west of I-35. I don't care where you are, it's just not going to happen.
And they're in a drought right now, also east of I-35.
Right. So it doesn't have to be a bed and breakfast for your cows, but you shouldn't let them get into bad body scores because they don't have enough to eat.
Right.
You know, they should have enough to eat. But put out some hay. You can cut that hay back. You can make up the difference with textured feeds that are higher in roughage, higher in fiber, and or DDG cubes.
Okay.
So you can do, I guess that's the long answer of saying, you can do a combination of all three and cut the use of all three at the same time.
Right. Yeah, because I have a lot of neighbors down in the breaks that their cows don't get any hay unless it's a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. But they put out a lot of pellets. But on the flip side of that, that's when they got good grass.
Right.
And so they got their roughage in that grass right there. Well, this year, it's a whole different ball game.
It's a completely different ball game. And the other thing is, if they're dry cows going through the winter, they're a lot easier to take through the winter than if they're
having babies in February.
If they've got a baby on their side, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Thanks for the text in there, Mr. Major. Well, let's finish up. What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about, I've had a few guys call me looking for fertilizer. So if you're a grain guy and you think you're going to want to cut wheat, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. So the maximum yield the wheat's going to produce is determined in the first 45 days of that wheat plant's life.
Okay.
Anything you do after that point, you're not adding appreciably to that yield that's already been set. Genetically, all the wheats are very good as far as yield. Some put out more forage than others, but for grain, they're all pretty good. You're not going to do a lot to increase yield if you don't have a good foundation under that plant to begin with.
Okay.
Fertility-wise. Urea, I'll just use that for an example. It got cut in half over the summer. It's back up from, it was about $1,200. It got cut to $650 along in there. It's back up to $800.
And after now, yesterday, it's probably going to go up again.
Yeah, it'll go up again. So this isn't the year to try to hit one out of the park next summer on grain yields. This is a year, in my opinion, to keep your powder dry and live to fight another day. So do the bare minimum you have to on fertility. If you've been using the no-till and cover crop that I've been preaching on here for a year and a half,
you can
get by with maybe no fertility input. Now, you're not going to be able to graze as heavily as you have, but in a year like this, you wouldn't really want to anyway. And let's face it, by now, all the old cows should be gone, the open cows should be gone, and now you're looking at your core herd. So in that core herd, if you still have to cull, if we don't get the rain and you still have to cull some, then it's the ones you don't like or that are going next.
Right. Kind of like a bad marriage.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I would tell you, don't get married to your cows. Just don't.
That's a bad thing because I do. I mean, I got, used to when I had 100 head, there was a few wives out there.
Yeah.
Now I'm down to less than 50, and I got a lot of wives out there.
Yeah, well, that's a bad deal.
I know.
You can buy a new cow wife later.
but you know, tomorrow.
That's easier said than done.
Oh, it is. It's easier said than done. And tomorrow, we're preg checking,
mm-hmm.
and we're weaning at the same time. Guess what? Those ones that are open,
go.
They're headed to Elk City.
Go. And I will tell you, we've had big sales here for the last month or 6 weeks, every week. Here south of town, and if we miss these rains that are supposed to come in early next week,
the lines will form
again, and we'll have another big round of it.
And it's just, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I would tell you, as we close, I would tell you the main thing is don't overgraze your pasture so much that you get the ground uncovered, because we did that a lot in 2011, and Mother Nature put ragweed, broomweed, thistles.
There's one other. What's the one that makes that little flower? It was a devil's claws?
Devil's claws out there, but buffalo burr.
Yeah, buffalo burr. Oh, my gosh.
Those are the ones that she puts back out there to keep covered up. And if you notice, she's putting stuff back there that nothing's going to eat.
Right.
And that's the purpose of doing that. That's why that happens. Nothing's going to take that off. No livestock's going to take that off.
You can still see between here and Sayre on I-40, you can still see where the ground is.
Absolutely.
That didn't have cover.
Absolutely. You can still see it from 2011.
You still see it.
That's exactly right.
Yep. And then our weather's been so crazy since 2011. You know, we had a mini drought in 18.
Mm-hmm.
And this drought here, I don't know if you want to call it a mini or not. It's a year old.
Yeah, it's
over a year old.
Yeah, so it's starting to become a very major factor. And the thing about culling cows, if you're an older guy, like say 70, and you have to cull down to near nothing,
I noticed
or maybe
you
nothing,
went older than you.
Yeah, older than me, because I'm in my prime.
Okay.
So if you're 70 or older, and you absolutely have to do it, you're not coming back. I mean, you're not going to build that herd back.
Yeah.
It's taking you 30, 40 years to get what you have, and you're just not going to be able to do it. That's why I say it's easier said than done.
Yes, it is.
So those are hard decisions that are going to have to be made over the next 60 days.
Yeah.
And they'll be made.
Yeah.
One way or the other, and people are going to decide what they're doing.
Yeah, and if we have, we do get some rains, it's going to be great. It's a good start. But, you know, we got some good rains back in June. And then it shut off.
And it shut off.
And last year we got some good rains in August, and it shut off. And you got to keep that in your mind. You got to be positive, but right. You got to keep what if we don't get any more rain.
I would say that the one positive thing that I would leave you with is this: if we get the rains or snow cover or something this winter, cattle are going to get very high next spring.
Oh yeah.
So that's how far I would look out is into next spring and early summer.
Mr. Watkins, thank you for coming on Today in Ag.
Thank you for having me.
You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. I got Brent Metter will be in here from the North Fork Electric Co-op Association. He'll be in talking about their big deal they got going on this weekend. And we'll talk more cattle and farming tomorrow. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.